Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Ariza with a high shot off the glass that goes. Nicely done.
The window man.
Yeah, he cleaned it.
On this edition of the Wizards Talk podcast, pleased to be joined by an NBA champion and all-around good guy, Trevor Ariza. Trevor, we're up here in the six. Yeah. You a California dude, man. How do you handle the snow?
Just stay in my room, close the windows, close the curtains. Think that I'm about to be somewhere.
Man, let's just talk about your second tour here with Washington. When you first left, did you ever imagine that you would come back here?
I did not. I didn't think that I would ever be back on the East once I left, period.
But what ultimately made it okay for you to come back East? Was it just the conversation that you had? I mean, obviously coming from Phoenix, this was a place where it's nice and warm and stuff like that, but it's clearly a team that was in transition.
Well, I told them over there as well, I didn't want to be traded. I'm not the type of player that when things aren't going right, that I just want to leave a situation. But if I was to leave a situation, you know, for me, I would either be home or a place that I'm familiar with. And the opportunity came to come to Washington, and I chose Washington over everything.
Is it because of the relationships that you built with guys like Brad and John and just knowing the organization all the way down?
100% had everything to do with it. When I was here the first time, I enjoyed being here. I loved it. Didn't want to leave. And, you know, as time goes on, things change. And the opportunity came to come back. And I was fortunate enough that the organization wanted me back too. So
it's. I'm curious, when you left here, you go to Houston and you're a part of, you know, the run there. What were some of your memories of being in H-Town and getting as close as you guys got in the conference finals?
You know, just the everyday work that we put in to get to that point, to where we fell short of a game of the finals. You know, building relationships with the people of that town, that organization, all memories that I have of them. That
you spent two tours of duty over there too, haven't you?
I've been there twice. I've been here twice.
Have you let Game 7 kind of go now? Was that important for you to like get away from that and not think about it anymore? And what were some of the lessons you learned from that game? Game 7 with Golden State.
Lessons that you can learn?
Yeah.
Man, I don't know if there's any lessons that you can learn. We just didn't make any shots. And they made shots. That's it. It wasn't anything that they did or we didn't do. The ball just didn't go in the basket.
I want to start from the beginning for you as a guy growing up in L.A. and getting drafted in the second round out of UCLA, going to the Knicks. What was that experience like? And obviously, Isaiah Thomas was the guy that pulled the trigger on getting you to New York.
Yeah, it was a bittersweet one for me because, like all players, I felt that I was better than where I was selected. But for me, just the opportunity to get drafted and have the opportunity to make the team, it definitely changed my perspective on how things would go. How hard it would have to be or how much work I would have to put in to being a successful player in this league. So, you know, it was a blessing for me to get drafted where I got drafted and to a place where I got drafted to as well.
Good. The motivation of trying to prove, are you one of those guys? I mean, you're quiet in your delivery, but yeah. when you are a second-round pick, how have you used that over the years as motivation?
Well, it kept an edge or a chip on my shoulder. It definitely kept a chip on my shoulder to where, you know, I knew I was going to have to work for everything that I've ever gotten in this game or in this business. And I wasn't going to let anybody else outwork me and take what I felt I deserved or what was mine. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was going to take it.
Then you go to Orlando, and then the move that helped you become an NBA champion.
Yeah.
Being around Kobe, what were some of the things you took away from that Mamba mentality?
Just, you know, I thought I worked hard, but I saw to be at the type of level that he was at, he worked harder. And again, like I said, with the chip on my shoulder, I felt that I can't just let anybody outwork me. No matter what the talent level is, I have to work that much harder, you know, just to make sure that I'm recognized or seen or noticed. Just like similar to what my mom used to tell me when I was under her roof or in her house, like being young, being a black man, you have to do things extra just to be considered, you know, equal. So took the same mentality into my craft.
You win a championship in your hometown.
There's the final seconds. As the buzzer sounds, it's official. The Lakers are NBA champions once again. LA wins the 2009 NBA title.
A lot of people talk about how difficult it is to play in your hometown. Yeah. Did you have those experiences?
I didn't, because again, like my whole main focus was playing basketball, and everything else came secondary to what my goals were, and they always been. So it wasn't no pressure. It was easy. It's easy for me to tell people no. It's easy for me to tell people that I have things to do and it has nothing to do with your agenda. So it wasn't hard at all.
You've been traded a lot. We've kind of seen during this specific trade deadline how some people have been kind of getting into their feelings about it and how people are being impacted off of the court. I think that's something that fans don't realize when guys get traded is, man, yeah, you go from one city to another, but you're also leaving behind family and you got to uproot them. You got to move them to different places. How have you learned to deal with trades over the years?
Well, different parts of my life has been different. This point, this has been the hardest one because, again, my children are in school now, so I can't just pick them up and move them. So being alone is being a little bit tougher. It's harder because, you know, me being a father, my job is to be a father first. And it's a little bit difficult. Well, not a little, it's very difficult doing it 3,000 miles away. So
raising kids from afar is extremely difficult because you can't really get your point across the way you want to get your point across on FaceTime.
If you need to cut ass, you can't do it. So, yeah.
Parenting, I want to ask you about that, just some of the lessons that maybe you learned from your mom that kind of helped you like navigate through now with your kids.
Well, for me, every child is different. So you have to cater to their or tailor the way you discipline them to their personalities. My mom gave me like not necessarily rules, but like an outline or a guideline to how things would work in her house. And I thought that was efficient for me. It helped me out a lot because I'm not good with like people telling me what to do. I'm good with you like letting me make the decision for myself. I'm gonna probably make the right decision, but when somebody forces me and tell me what to do, I'm not good with that.
And your family, like, just your family, you know, your mom, and, you know, everyone knows your story, you know, about your brother and stuff like that. I've noticed here recently, and I don't know how long you've been doing it, but after the national anthem, you will walk over to the bench and you will always look up. What is that?
That's just, you know, me letting him know that I always think about him, that he's always with me, and you know. Everything that I have been doing, I've had in my mind.
You're probably missing what just happened. Flav, the security guy, just dunked, and everybody just lost it.
Wow. The gym is definitely therapeutic.
Yeah.
Man, it's crazy.
Let's get us some stuff off the court, man. Like, what are some of your interests away from the game?
Well, my time is dominated by my children, so my interest has become whatever they're interested in. So my daughter is interested in dolls and all that. So I'm up on all the Barbies and all that stuff. My son Tristan likes to draw. He's a pretty good artist, and so whatever he likes to do, draw and all that stuff, I love. And my oldest son loves sports, so.
Do we have a future NBA player in the ranks?
He's just an all-around athlete, so anything that he picks up, he's pretty good at. Tristan as well, he's a really good athlete. My oldest son likes music, so he taught himself how to, like, play the piano by ear.
That's what's up. Yeah. This guy right here, shooting left-handed, Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
Where have you seen his biggest growth this year compared to when you had him before you left to go to Houston?
Well, from the jump, he was a mature young man or teenager when he first got here. And his maturity level has gone crazy, like surpassed what he was even back then. His game has jumped to a whole nother level. He's just all around crazy good. It's amazing. I watch some of his moves that he makes on the court, and they're just so smooth. It's like, oh. Like he did a move yesterday where he was getting ready to shoot it. He hezzy in and out, hezzy again.
You're like, come on, man.
To the can. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, come on, dude. That's crazy.
What is the sky for him? What's his potential you see down the road? Because, I mean, he's what? 25? Where is he in the next 3 years, you think?
No, because he's over here shooting left-handed and it looks natural. So, I mean, you tell me. It's crazy.
You need to cut his hair, actually. You know, I don't know what's up with the hair, though.
Nah, that's it right now.
That's what's it.
Yeah.
So I'm bald-headed. I can't relate, man. I'm jealous. Yeah. That's what it is. The jealous game is out here. Hey, man, Trevor, we appreciate your time, man, on this edition of the Wizards Talk Podcast.
They go into the corner for Ariza's long ball. That's good.